prepare for warp speed as we embark on a voyage through the vast expanse of science fiction in movies and television series. From distant planets to alien civilizations, we delve into the heart of the unknown, unraveling the tales that have captured audiences for generations. Get ready to unlock the secrets of the universe on Code Flicks. Hello and welcome to Code Flicks, the podcast where we take a deep dive into your favorite sci-fi, fantasy TV shows and movies. I'm Andre Bonner, and in today's episode, we'll be journeying through time with the 2002 movie Time Machine. This is one of many movies which shows humanity what to expect when making decisions and how to live. What a man's determination will enable him to do, to relive time with his wife. When I first watched this movie, I didn't realize it was an adaptation from a book. It's quite interesting to know that something like this can actually come from something really good and have a real good connection to it. And there aren't any stray points that have gone into making the movie that would cause it to lose the initial intent of the author. That's H.G. Wells. Of course, he's one of those great authors, science fiction authors, and many of the series and TV shows that we'll be looking at will focus on some of those wonderful gems that he has given as an inspiration to writers and directors who have created works based on his work. The Time Machine is a 2002 American post-apocalyptic sci-fi film loosely adapted by John Logan from the 1895 novel of the same name by H.G. Wells and a screenplay of the 1960 film of the same name by David Duncan. Arnold Leverboyd served as executive producer, and Simon Wells, the great-grandson of the original author, served as director. The film stars Guy Pearce, Orlando James, Samantha Mumba, Mark Addy, and Jeremy Irons, and includes a cameo by Alan Young, who was also appeared in the 1960 film adaptation. The film is set in New York City instead of London and contains new story elements not present in the original novel or the 1960 film adaptation, including a romantic subplot, a new scenario about how civilizations was destroyed, and several new characters such as an artificial intelligent hologram and a Morlock leader. So let's talk about a plot. In 1899, Dr. Alexander Hardigan is an inventor teaching at Columbia University in New York. Unlike his friend David Philby, Alexander would rather do pure research than work in the world of business. After a mugger kills his fiancée Emma, he devotes himself to building a time machine that will allow him to travel back in time to save her. After completing the machine in 1903, he travels back to 1899 and prevents her murder, only to see her killed again when a carriage frightens the horse of another vehicle. Alexander realizes that any attempt to save Emma will result in her death through other circumstances. He travels to 2030 to discover, with the science they've discovered, how to change the past. At the New York Public Library, holographic librarian Vox 114 insists time travel to the past is impossible. Alexander travels to 2037 when the accidental destruction of the moon by the lunar colonists have begun rendering the Earth virtually uninhabitable. While restarting the machine, he is knocked unconscious by debris and travels forward 800,000 years to the date 16th of July, 800,002,701 before reawakening. The Earth has healed and the human race has reverted to a primitive lifestyle. Some survivors, called Eloi, live on the sides of cliffs of what was once Manhattan. Alexander is nursed back to health by a woman named Mara, one of the few Eloi who speak English. He observes the broken moon and realizes that maybe his teachings led to this future. One night, Alexander and Mara's younger brother, Kalen, dream of a jagged toothed face and a creature calling their name. Alexander informs Mara of the dream and she tells him they all have that dream. She then notices that his watch is missing. The next day, the Eloi are attacked and Mara is dragged underground by ape-like creatures. They are called Morlocks and they hunt the Eloi. In order to rescue Mara, Kalen leads Alexander to Vox 114, which is still functional after 800,000 years. After learning from Vox how to find the Morlocks, Alexander enters their underground lair through an opening that resembles the face in his nightmare. He is captured and thrown into an era where Marok sits in a cage. Alexander meets an intelligent humanoid, Uber Morlock, who explains the Morlock's descent from the humans, who went underground after the moon broke apart. While the Eloi evolved from those who remained on the surface, the Uber Morlocks are a caste of telepaths who rule the other Morlocks who use the Eloi as food and breeding vessels. The Uber Morlock explains that Alexander cannot alter Emma's fate. Her death is what drove him to build the time machine in the first place. Therefore, saving her would be an impossibility due to the temporal paradox. The Uber Morlock shows Alexander the time machine and tells him to go home. Alexander gets into the machine but pulls the Uber Morlock in with him, carrying them into the future as they fight. The Uber Morlock dies by rapidly aging. When Alexander pushes him outside of the machine's temporal bubble, Alexander stops in 635,427,810, realizing a harsh, rust-colored sky over a wasteland of Morlock caves. Accepting that he cannot save Emma, Alexander travels back to rescue Mara. After freeing her, he starts a machine and jams its gears, creating a distortion in time. Pursued by the Morlocks, Alexander and Mara escape to the surface as a time distortion explodes, killing the Morlocks and destroying their caves along with the time machine. Alexander begins a new life with Mara and the Eloi, while Vox 114 helps him educate them. In 1903, Philby and Miss Watchett, Alexander's housekeeper, discuss his absence in his laboratory. Philby tells Miss Watchett he is glad that Alexander has gone to the place where he can find peace, and he would like to hire her as a housekeeper. She accepts until Alexander returns. Miss Watchett bids Alexander farewell, and Philby leaves, looking toward the laboratory affectionately, then proudly throws his bowler hat away in tribute to Alexander's objection to blind conformity. So there are several themes and elements that came out in this movie, and being an adaptation of the original story that H.G. Wells would have written. Of course, time travel is the first one. The central premise of the film is the concept that we can change time, or we can go travel whether backwards or forwards in time. Alexander Ardagan invents the time machine in an attempt to alter a tragic event in his past. He embarks on a journey through time and experiences different wonders, and even figures out the danger of time travel in the end. Victorian era setting. Of course, this movie starts out in the 19th century. New York City, that's the setting. And it is something that has a lot more detail because of how the time when H.G. Wells would have written this particular story. So the significance is very, very similar, even though it might have been about London and the movie was set in New York. There are a lot of similarities there. Future worlds. So as Alexander ends up going through time and traveling through time, he encounters different stages in society. He discovers how humanity has altered the future in different ways, and the end result of that we see, you know, through the utopian and dystopic futures of the Eloi and the Morlocks, respectively. Social commentary. So, the movie offers a lot of technological progress being shown there. It shows what are the consequences of unchecked ambition. So, you know, yes, humanity is very ambitious and we're trying to make all things happen. But if we are not thinking about, you know, the end goal and what and where it might lead, we might end up in places that we don't want to be. And of course, the character development throughout the journey that Alexander Ardagan goes through in a time machine, he eventually learns a valuable lesson that things happen. When stuff happens, you don't have to everything right. You're trying to make everything perfect, but things may never be perfect. But you can work with what it is. There was a particular line that Mara, the Eloi, said to him that, and probably this is not a quotation directly from the movie, but it was in essence, what it was, we do not dwell on the past. We move forward by remembering. So we don't sit there and ponder about what could have been, but we remember what was and what we want to do. We move forward with that. I think that's a nice touch. So let's look at the characters. Alexander Hardigan. Alexander is the brilliant inventor and scientist driven by grief to invent a time machine. He evolves through the film, transitioning from a man consumed with grief and loss to a courageous hero determined to save the future. Mara. Mara is a member of the Eloi civilization in the distant future. She befriends Alexander and serves as a moral compass, exhibiting qualities of compassion, curiosity, and bravery. Vox is an artificial intelligence created by humans. He or it was created with the sole purpose of having a wellspring of information similar to probably Google or ChatGPT. Uber Morlock. The leader of the Morlocks. The Uber Morlock is a formidable adversary who challenges Alexander to confront his own mortality and the consequences of his actions. So there are several things I can look at for the production and design of the time machine. And on the top of my list is the visual effects. It features some impressive visual effects to depict the time travel and the futuristic landscapes encountered by the protagonists. From the bustling streets of 19th century New York to the distant future, the film showcases a wide range of visual styles and environments. And it's something that keeps me watching and, you know, possibly even re-watching this particular movie. Set design. The movie's production design captures the essence of different time periods, from the Victorian to the distant future. Each time period is meticulously crafted to reflect the technological advancements or societal changes of time. And you can see the great distances in time in terms of how society is set up, especially where it concerns technology and even the dystopic utopia of the future. Costume design. The costumes in the film reflect the fashion of each era visited by the protagonists, helping to immerse the audience in various time periods. This is so true. You know, you feel like you're there. You feel like there is more to it that, you know, you could explore. You could actually turn left or right and you find certain things. And, you know, just the way how they're dressed, it brings you even more into it because you are totally caught up in all of that. Sound design. The film's sound design plays a crucial role in creating atmosphere and enhancing the sense of time travel. From the hum of the time machine to the futuristic sounds of the distant future, sound effects contribute to the overall immersion into the movie. I swear, you know, those little beats that go down there, it's not all that, but it really does adds up. It just makes things even more complex and brings a lot more to the table. The film was a co-production of DreamWorks and Warner Brothers in association with Arnold Leverboyd Entertainment, who obtained the rights to George Pal's original Time Machine 1960 and collectively negotiated a deal that made it possible for both DreamWorks and Warner Brothers to make the movie. Leverboyd was inspired and interested in making a new film since the 1980s. Originally, Steven Spielberg was set to direct, but moved on to other projects. Then Silberling took over, but left over creative differences. Simon Wells, who had been directing animated films Spielberg has produced since An American Tale, Fievel Goes West, was interested in going into live action. So he went to Jeffrey Katzenberg, saying, "I really ought to be directing this, because you know the name." Despite having never directed a live action movie before, producers Walter F. Parks and Laurie MacDonald recognized that because of his animation background, the extensive visual effects work on the film wasn't going to be hard for him to handle. Director Gore Verbisky was brought in to take over the last 18 days of shooting, as Wells was suffering from extreme exhaustion. Wells returned for post-production. Filming began in February 2001 and finished on May 29, 2001. The Morlocks were depicted using actors in costumes wearing animatronic masks created by Stan Winston Studio. For scenes in which they ran on all fours faster than humanly possible, Industrial Light and Magic created CGI versions of the creatures. Many of the time-traveling scenes were entirely computer-generated, including a 33-second shot in the workshop where the time machine is located. The camera pulled out, traveling through New York City and then into space, past the ISS, and ends with a space plane landing at the moon to reveal Earth's future lunar colonies. Plants and buildings are shown springing up and then being replaced by new growth in a constant cycle. In latter shots, the effects team used an erosion algorithm to digitally simulate the Earth's landscape changing through the centuries. For some of the lighting effects used by the digital time bubble around the time machine, ILM developed an extended range color format, which they named RGBE, red, blue, and exponent channel. The film's original release date was December 2001, but it was moved to March 2002 because they wanted to avoid competition with The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, and also a scene was removed from the moon destruction sequence showing pieces of the moon crashing into buildings in New York because it looked too similar visually to the September 11 attacks. Soundtrack. A full score was written by Klaus Badelt, with the recognizable theme being the track I Don't Belong Here, which was later used in the 2008 Discovery Channel miniseries When We Left Earth. In 2002, the film's soundtrack won the World's Soundtrack Award for Discovery of the Year. I remember how scary the Morlocks looked initially when they came up out of the ground and started to hunt down the Eloi. And I remember thinking to myself, Norman, is this a horror movie or something? And then how creepy the Uber Morlock looked, you know, especially when he gets up and turns around and you see how in back stay. But I mean, you know, all of those elements, they really come together to make the production of the film even more exciting and interesting. The film holds a 28% rating on Rotten Tomatoes based on the 156 reviews, with an average rating of 4.79 out of 10. This machine has all the razzle-dazzle of modern special effects, but the movie takes a turn for the worse when it switches from a story about love to a confusing action thriller. Audiences polled by the cinema score gave the film an average grade of C+ or an A+ to F scale. And I mean, that element, I think, to me, is not all that of a great of a confusion, because you can have something that turns out to be a, you know, propelling the character, the protagonist, into a life or a journey that is going to be wrought with action and adventure. He didn't set out for it. You know, in some stories, the protagonist would have been on a journey towards that, and it was obvious that he would have eventually reached that place, but this film wasn't written that way. It wasn't supposed to be that way. It was supposed to be about this man and his love, his soon-to-be wife at the time, who was taken too early for him to even be able to, you know, get a better appreciation and would have had something. And yes, for some persons, they might have gotten vested in that in the initial stages, but it brings, you know, builds to something different. And I think it doesn't detract from the film for me, maybe for others. But that's just my critique of it, basically. So I have a few favorite moments in the movie. First of which is the moment where Alexander's colleague encourages him to come out from the lab after he loses Emma. You know, that was a really nice touch, I believe. It really says that, you know, someone is considering you and, you know, really thinks that you're putting yourself way too much into your work. This is someone who had initially was encouraging him to do stuff and, you know, and he was saying, no, I need to go and have some time with Emma. I have given her too many excuses already. So let me do this. And so, you know, it's really good to see that after this tragedy has struck, you know, his colleague can come to him and be like, hey man, you need to get out, man, you need to do stuff, and try to encourage him, even though he didn't listen. He didn't listen any at all, because he had a different agenda. I feel like the depiction of the future of New York, enhanced by technology, really says what we envision or are envisioning right now as a society, that whole idea of having, you know, the AI, for instance, being able to give information and, you know, look up books all over the world, basically. It's plugged into a central database, and basically we're almost there. We don't have holographic projections, mind you, but we're almost there with that one. Another thing I liked was the transition to 800,000 years when Alexander got knocked out and he was on the time machine, and just looking at the what was happening outside of the time machine, and, you know, just seeing the transition from, you know, the desert and, you know, that ice age kind of thing. So it was almost like a re-beginning of the Earth. Earth was being rebooted. It was like Earth 2.0, basically. And you see it a lot of times in different movies and films, that they give a depiction, and this is one of them that sticks with me, right? And of course, I mentioned this before, but one of my favorite quotes from the film was when Mara says to Alexander, "We don't dwell on the past. We do something else. We remember them." And this is in when they talk about death or mortality. They don't really talk about it, which is not really a good idea, I don't think. But what I do like is that they don't let it hold them back. They don't make it a part of their cause or their life. They try to move forward by just remembering the great elements, the things that made knowing that person great. And that is something that we can all take a little, you know, note from that, and, you know, for all of us that have had loss in our lives. So there are a few things that I've thought about for this particular film. And I'm wondering, I believe that Alexander should have at least tried to go back and relive some time with his fiance, you know, perhaps like go back before they met in the park or something like that, you know, try to, you know, that would have been very interesting. I mean, that could have been another like timeline or something, you know what I'm saying? They could have tried to integrate that into the plot, you know. I don't know if that would be a great movie or it would make it worse, but I'm just thinking here. I feel like Mara was way too young for Alexander. Yeah, I'm looking at them and I'm like, character wise you look way too young. And I'm not just saying that because Alexander is over 800, but he's not really. He's just traveled over the time. So whatever age he was at that time, he would be that age same way because he hasn't really aged. But yeah, I'm saying because he looks old. And usually in those old times, persons usually never get married till they reach a certain age, right? So yeah, but then again, yeah, but yeah, I think he looks old. That's what I'm saying. There's this question that keeps coming up for me, like, what happened to the other Uber Morlocks? Because the one that he spoke with said that there are others and there are other colonies and everything. So what happened after that? Is it that they trained the Eloys to fight and they decided he built something like that time machine bomb thing or some kind of weapon or something and tried to fend? Because if they're connected, because it's implied that the Uber Morlocks might be in contact with one another, right? Whether it be telepathically or whatever. And I'm figuring more or less that could be a thing, right? So yeah, you see, that question brings up more questions and even, you know, subplots and things that could happen there, right? Is it possible that the Eloi have the same powers as the Morlocks? And this is something that I do believe is possible, because the fact that they were able to share the dream of Alexander when he came there, it meant that they have some kind of telepathic link with one another. At least they have it. And perhaps, though the Uber Morlock has used his to gain an advantage and, you know, and keep the Eloi under certain wraps and stuff. So it's possible that the Eloi have that power, but they have not, or they have forgotten how to use it. I'm just saying, you know. These are my theories. If you have theories, leave them in the comments. Let me know if you agree with them or you don't agree with them and what you think could be a better theory. So in this episode, we looked at the plot of Time Machine. We looked at what the time machine was comprised of and the journey that this man would have made in order to find out how we could change the past, how he could regain the life that he lost. A destiny that he was hoping for. And we've realized how he has come to get to know himself, get to understand what it is that he really, or what really matters in the end. We looked at the themes and some symbols in Time Machine, in particular the time travel element. We looked at some of the characters, the interesting characters of the Uber Morlock, Mara. We looked at the production and design, what went into that, what made who came up with the idea at the end of the day to have a story of tragedy that turns out to be an action thriller. I spoke about some of my favorite moments, and my not so favorite moments, some of the questions I have surrounding some of the theories and some of the mysteries that remain unsolved. So at this time, I want to encourage you to subscribe and to continue to follow the podcast for future deep dives. You know how we do it. We get down in deep into whatever TV show or film and use the comments. Let me know what you want me to look at, what you want me to watch. I'm here for you. I'm going to watch them. I'm going to come and give my honest feedback on what I think or what I don't like about a particular TV show or movie. Thank you for reaching this far in the podcast episode. Your support has been fuel to the fire that rages to continue to make these episodes and to make them more awesome each week. Each week, experiment with new techniques. Thank you.
See you next time.